While we're waiting for this to load, I'd like to say first, good morning. Second, except for the people who are doing line dancing yesterday, I think most of us have been sitting for about 74 hours this week. Could I just get those of you who have worked on policy issues to stand up? Okay, a small and powerful handful. Those of you who believe that policy might affect your work, could you all stand up? Okay, so this is in fact relevant to you. That's a big relief. First, I just want to thank my co-authors, Laura Nixon, who was the world's best intern one could ever hope for from UC Berkeley, Suzanne Miller from National Coalition of STD Directors, who has since left NCSD and been replaced by Stephanie Arnold, who's waving her hand here, and who has been a tremendous ally as well, and Lynn Barclay from the American Social Health Association, who many of you have seen downstairs. And what I want to talk about today is what policies do HIV and STD directors and researchers think will have the biggest impact? And of those policies, which do advocates think will be politically possible? And how we used a process called concept mapping to work this out and come up with a prioritized policy agenda. So the questions that prompted us to do this study were three. One is, those of us who work in STDs have very little time and very little money to actually spend thinking about policy. We have frequently no FTEs in our departments to even think about this, and we also have obviously lots of competing priorities, yet as you all saw, it's obviously important to us. And then many of the policy agendas, and some of those I'll be talking about today, are all very consistent about saying we need more money, but when you say, well, what do we actually want the money for, it doesn't get very specific. So we wanted to come up with a way of laying out what specific policy efforts we should be dedicating resources to advancing, and then which ones those of us in STD should be prioritizing, and which ones we should work with allies in HIV and Planned Parenthood, family planning organizations, and which should we leave to them to really prioritize and carry the water on. And then where do we need more research to inform our policy agenda? And this is hopefully not the same kind of more research is needed sentence which most of us end our studies on, but really where are the disconnects between what advocates and policy people think is important and what researchers think will have an impact? Let's see if we can go forward, because forward's much more fun than going backward. So what I want to lay out is the process we used through concept mapping. I'm not going to go into a tremendous amount of detail. If you want more information, I'll show you the website at the end where you can find out how this works in greater detail. I want to talk about how we recruited the participants for this process, how the brainstorming process worked across the country, how we asked people to sort the ideas which they got and they themselves generated, and then how they rated them in terms of importance. And then what I want to do is talk about how those results compare to current advocacy agendas that were circulating. So the folks that we recruited, one, anybody who was a member of NCSD or NASTAT, all HIV directors and STD directors, and sometimes the same person, all of those we invited to participate. And then we did two snowball samples, one of researchers, and I have to say the definition of a hard-to-reach population includes people who are really busy writing grants, doing the studies, and publishing the results of their studies. And we started out with the American STD Association, and then we looked at a list of who had written meta-analyses, who served on editorial boards of journals, who served on conference planning committees, and who are experts in specific policy areas that we thought would emerge as priorities in this process, such as corrections and injection drug use. And we also really focused on researchers who had done work in what would have a population-level impact and who had done some modeling. Advocates were slightly easier to find, but are also very busy people. And what we did is another snowball sample of folks who were working in STD advocacy, HIV advocacy, who far outnumbered those of us in STD, and reproductive health organizations. We invited 332 folks to brainstorm and rate, and we worked sort of like the airlines. We invited a lot of people, knowing that a lot wouldn't show. And we invited, as you can see, 73 advocates, 109 STD and HIV directors, and 150 researchers. Of those, 114 of those participated, and they brainstormed 232 ideas and strategies. 39 people engaged in the sorting out of all of those ideas into clusters. 82 people rated those ideas on the impact they would have on HIV, 75 on the impact they would have on STD transmission, and 32 advocates rated on how feasible these would be to get approval on. So the question we launched out to start this nationwide dialogue to everybody was for people to complete the sentence, like Mad Libs, a policy at the national level, e.g. legislation or an initiative that would have an impact on reducing HIV or STD transmission in the next 2 to 5 years is blank. You can be thinking of your own ideas if you'd like to do that. So this map shows the 102 results, strategies that we culled from the 232 submissions. And it shows how they're in relation to one another as people drag and drop them on their own computer screens in order to sort them and begin to form clusters that they could use for rating. To get from 232 to 102, what we did is eliminated duplication. If something patently didn't make sense to any of us on the committee, we excluded it. And we kept lots of what other people might consider outliers because we wanted people to figure out where those outliers lived. So what you can see is that, or begin to see, is that similar ideas began to cluster out as people dragged them into, similar ideas began to form clusters and they're in close proximity. And I know you can't read it at the bottom of the screen. The two ideas over on your right both have to do with taxes. The first is to require that all alcohol and tobacco taxes and other kinds of taxes be focused on public health efforts with a defined split between treatment and prevention. And the second was to increase a federal excise tax to an average of 5 cents a drink on alcohol linked to inflation and use funds for substance use programs. Keep in mind, these were not ideas that we ourselves on the committee generated, but people out there in the world of researchers and advocates and directors did. And as you can see, some of them may sound foreign to you in terms of what might have an impact on prevention. So through a hierarchical scaling and cluster analysis, and I'm going to leave it to those of you who want to look at the website to figure out exactly how this works, but it's a really elegant program that we were able to use. The clusters, the ideas all began to form clusters, and then we ended up naming them. And as you can see, they range from ideas that have to do very specifically with federal education legislation, legislation of rights for vulnerable populations, such as gays and lesbians, government involvement, which was sort of a funny title, but it fit the best, health systems interventions, ideas that had to do with screening and prevention, innovative ideas that people hadn't thought of before and didn't and seemed to merit some specific attention, and education in terms of education marketing and social marketing. So then we asked people to rank the ideas within these clusters, and we asked directors and researchers to rate these strategies from 1 to 5 within each cluster on the impact on HIV or STDs. And we let them choose whichever they believe they had the most experience in, and some people could rate on both. And again, the question is, for researchers and directors, how much impact do you think each idea, would have if carried out on increasing or decreasing HIV or STD transmission rates? And it's important that we asked both about what people thought would work, as well as what people thought might have an adverse effect and actually result in increased transmission. But as you'll see, it also posed a problem for us. Advocates, on the other hand, rated strategies from 1 to 5 within each cluster on feasibility. So how likely is each strategy or item to receive funding or to be enacted within the next 5 years? So what happens is then we got clusters that we asked people to rate within, and people could rate these, again, on feasibility and impact, and then we could begin to plot out which ideas were rated both high feasibility and high STD impact in this case, as contrasted to HIV. And you can see how we go around high feasibility and low STD impact, Let me just give some examples. So high feasibility and high STD impact, an idea that rated high, was to improve community supports for young gay and bisexual men and transgendered youth so they can build healthy identities and the self-esteem necessary to avoid contracting HIV and STIs. Something that was rated high feasibility and low impact was to align a national and federal comprehensive sexual health education strategy with federal efforts to standardize education, keeping the circle going. Low feasibility and low STD impact were the ideas that we didn't want people to try at home, were to conduct public education campaigns about how arresting illegal aliens and depriving them of access to services helps to spread disease. And finally, ideas that didn't seem to people didn't believe would actually get approval or funding, but still believed would have an impact, were to include healthy education, including sexual health, as a requirement in the educational system. So this does not look like the Texas flag very much, but if you want to follow the chart, you'll see the symbols. You'll see how these began to sort out also and how people rated. And these were ideas that I'm showing you, which were just some of the highlights. They're not the complete list, obviously, of the 102, and they were ideas that actually rated among the highest overall, not just within the clusters. So just going down the list, one is mandating that all insurers, including Medicaid and Medicare, cover all STD and HIV screening testing per CDC recommendations, and you can see the rest. There were two that really clustered around building standards and recommendations, and then ensuring free and easy access to condoms and supporting sexual health clinics. Ideas that rated high in impact and feasibility for SEV, specifically allowing point-of-care testing to be used in the field by DIS and CBO staff, and reducing barriers to access and service in STD reproductive health and community health clinics. An idea that verified to us that people actually had a fair clue as to what was actually feasible, and this was done in 2010, just before it was rescinded, ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell. High impact and low feasibility for both HIV and STDs ideas including health education, including sexual health, again, as a requirement for the educational system. And then there were some ideas that, again, rated high impact and low feasibility for STDs specifically, including ensuring funding for one DIS for every 500 reported cases of gonorrhea and incentivizing industry to develop new drugs to treat gonorrhea. In other words, these were ideas that had a lot of importance, but people didn't think they would get through Congress. And then there were the don't try at homes. Develop national support for gay marriage and parenting adoption rights, which I'm sure people thought were probably important ideas. They just wouldn't have an impact on HIV and STDs. And prohibiting agencies receiving federal highway funds for public transportation from getting a new contract if they allowed tobacco or alcohol ads on their public transportation systems. So the good news was that researchers and directors had high levels of agreement. With a couple of exceptions, directors rated higher than researchers. Ideas about school-based health centers and expanding training about HIV and STDs in med schools, in nursing schools, and researchers, on the other hand, rated higher ideas including around syringe distribution and correctional facilities and funding interventions on sexual and social networks. We then compared our results with six national policy documents, most of which were HIV-focused, and you can see the list there, two from AMFAR, one the National AIDS Strategy, one from the CDC, one from NASDAQ, and the HIV Prevention Justice Alliance. And what we found is that all of those agendas included condom and syringe access, and yet many high-impact and feasibility strategies were missing, and those included support for sexual health clinics, point-of-care testing for DIS and CBOs, and AMFAR highlighted STD and HIV testing mandates and screening standards for health clinics. So there were a couple limitations. One, since we asked people to rate what might not work or have the counter effect that we wanted, is that the scale ended up being relatively narrow. So we asked people to rate on a 1 to 5 scale, but 1 was a negative effect, which means that the bandwidth for 3, 4, and 5 looked pretty narrow. And it was hard, as you can see, for brainstormers to convey very complex ideas in a very short phrase that people can then get through 100 of these to rate without going absolutely out of their minds and yelling at us. So there were some limitations, as I've shown, but nevertheless, some next steps can clearly be taken. One is to incorporate and this is the most important one, missing those strategies that were missing from the existing policy research agendas into those, consider how we can increase the feasibility of high-impact ideas, but that yet rated low on feasibility, and nudge them over, maybe break them down into the bite-sized feasible pieces. We need to bring researchers and directors together to discuss their differences, and we need to consider carefully which of those we should take on in STDs and which we should work with allies on, and what steps that we can take, even if we don't prioritize them in STDs and HIV, but they could be relatively low-cost and low-time interventions, such as doing legislative analyses, letters of support for those ideas that we don't prioritize. And then we need to sit down and talk about those ideas that seem foreign to us but may have some merit, like what would taxes do. Finally, I want to thank a whole list of people. You can see them there, but primarily Bill and NCSD, Lynn Barkley and ASHA, Jeannie and the American STD Association, my colleagues at NASDAQ, my colleagues, many of whom are here from my own STD control branch, Concept Systems, which is the company that we use to do this process, everyone who responded, and those of us and those of you who are going to use these data to prioritize policies and improve our health. So with that, I'll close, and I think we have about negative 30 seconds for questions.
We can take one. We'll take one question. because I'm sure people have some. I'm sure you guys have some questions, if you'd like. We'll go over just a couple of minutes, but that's okay. Unless, if you have to catch a plane, I understand. If you have to catch your plane?
No, I don't. Somebody else.
Oh. One? Okay.
Hi. Thank you, Dan. Great talk. Harlan Roblett, L.A. County Department of Public Health. I have a couple part in my one question. Was there anything that you thought was missing from what the final list was in terms of systems things? I was thinking of, you know, stuff we've seen related to Affordable Care Act or merger of HIV-STD programs like we're experiencing, things like that. Is there anything that really surprised you because it was present or not so present?
I think there were a lot of ideas that had to do with the Affordable Care Act and that we've seen since get a lot more attention in healthcare reform. I think one of the ideas that surprised me was condoms in prisons got a very high rating in terms of impact, and I think the data is a little actually shaky on that. And there was fairly mediocre ratings of ideas around sentencing reform, which a lot of advocates have said is really important, but didn't seem to come up in the impact.
And where did social marketing kinds of things come up?
Often medium. And there were ideas, again, that many of, and we can show you all the ideas which are going to be on ncsddc.org, or just Google National Coalition of STD Directors, and you can see where all the different ideas came up.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.